Hello, everybody. This is Loki, a way of Loki, and welcome to No Hit Podcast. Here, it is my job to interview extraordinary gamers in the realms of challenge running, whether that be no hit runs, completing games in entirety without taking a single hit or point of damage, speed runs, completing games that would normally take hours in mere minutes, and other such adventures. Today's guest is Kazoodle, that's K-A-Z-O-O-D-L-E, on YouTube and Twitch, and Kazoodle with the E being a 3 at the end on Twitter. Kazoodle is a world record level speedrunner in the Demon Souls remake by Bluepoint. He's also an incredible no-hit runner, having completed all the From Software games, either no hit or no damage, including the Dark Souls series, Bloodborne, Sekiro, and Demon Souls, both the original and the remake. As well as completing even more amazing runs within those games, including Dark Souls 1, all achievements, a run that took just under 8 hours no hit, the trilogy run requiring beating Dark Souls 1-3 back-to-back no hit, and too many niche runs in the Demon Souls remake to count, including Magic Only, Halberd Only, No Roll, No Hit, and much more. He's also a moderator for the Team Hitless community, a community of dedicated no-hit runners involved in organising of events, showcases, tournaments, as well as cultivating the Discord community and verification of runs. In this conversation, we go through Kazoodle's enjoyment of the Demon's Souls remake, both in his speedrunning adventures and the breadth of his multiple no-hit runs in the game, cheating in no-hit runs, and we go into our thoughts on why people cheat in hitless runs. Kazoodle's all-achievement runs, the difficulties of it, what was included, and the differences or similarities between doing such a run like that and a multiple game run such as his trilogy run, and many more topics. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Kazoodle. Right, Zoodle, thanks very much for coming on the podcast. Thanks for making some time, dude. How's it going?
Thank you for having me, dude. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's not as at all as well. So I wanted to start, as I was doing some prep, as I used to do for these, I noticed a consistent theme through your socials, which was coffee, and I wanted to query how that came about.
Oh, yeah. So, a few years ago, when I was streaming, I always was streaming with an energy drink or something. Mm-hmm. And then I grew up, I had like a break of streaming. And I grew up and then, I don't know, I bought a new coffee machine. And then I just started, instead of drinking an energy drink, which I couldn't drink anymore because they are way too sweet, I just started to drink coffee while I was streaming every single time. And then I was like, hey, I'm drinking all the time coffee. And then just step by step, I got this into my stream.
Became part of the identity.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Like, I really enjoy drinking coffee. It's
any particular kind, like black or...
So the thing is, I mostly just drink my coffee with milk a little bit, but I recently just got into also like how to make coffee. Like, it's not just, you know, you on your coffee machine, you press the button. I mean, actually like grinding the beans, water temperature, milligram, how much you need, and yada, yada, yada. It's kind of interesting.
Have you seen Tokyo Ghoul out of interest?
Tokyo Ghoul? A little bit.
Coffee's quite a strong part, and they use the, like, pouring through the sieve of the coffee proper. I was just imagining you doing that for a sec.
Wait, was it not like that they were drinking coffee, and it, because they were ghouls, it tasted very awful?
Yeah, and it held back desires, like them wanting to eat people or something like that. It's been a while since
I've
seen it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I watched this maybe 2 or 3 episodes. I don't know.
Not saying this is any similarities to your position of your drinking coffee and avoiding eating people, but...
No. I do both.
Oh, okay, fair. So going into whichever came first, no hit running or speed running, what was your first involvement in whichever came first?
I think speedrunning, actually. So, but not Souls. I was speedrunning Super Mario Land.
Okay.
On the Wii U.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, great. It was great. Yeah, when I speedrun just, I think it was Super Mario. And then, or was it afterwards? No, I guess speedrunning was afterwards. No, I'm wrong. I think, no, it was first. That's the first thing I tried, at least, but never finished. In 2016, when the whole no-hit started, right? Like, after Hop got his no-hit run, mm-hmm. and then D3 came out, and I saw Faraz and Squilla and Hop doing the no-hits, I was like, I was also stirring a lot of souls, and I was like, I'm gonna try it. And I think I ended up with a PB of 28 and never continued because I was like, oh God, I'm so bad and this is too hard. And then I think then I did some speedrunning, yeah.
How was those early days? Because obviously nowadays, like, the community is enormous and
yeah.
The amount of strats that are available. How was the, like, early days of no hit running?
So in 2016, it was literally just these few guys who try that. And it was not, there was not some sort of community or consistent stream content. It was just those few guys who try it.
Mm.
And then in 2017, I had like a break of streaming. I took a break, was chilling a little bit. And 2018, I came back. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try it again. And then I tried No Hit in Dark Souls 1. And to that time, I was still streaming in German and was not really in touch with other streamers, especially not like bigger streamers or like, you know, Hop and Faraz. They were kind of big to that time already. And there were more runners, but I didn't know about them. I knew there's the Twitch team. I knew there were some runners in there, but I never really watched. I think I watched Hop and a little bit of Faraz, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just tried the No Hit on my own.
So did you end up having to create a lot of the strats yourself, or was there a few things like flat floating around?
It was, I started, so what I did first was a Notif run, and I did this on my own. And then I started no-hitting in 2018, and I was trying to do it on my own, like all the strats and everything. But then over time and over the weeks, I watched there a little bit of Hop, how he's doing it. And then I watched there Faraz doing it like that. And so I kind of made my own route a little bit. Yeah. Like I grabbed a little bit from everywhere. Like, I mean, everywhere were just a few runners, because to that time, only 6 people finished Dark Souls 1. That was my first game to know it. Only 6 people did. Actually, 5 people. No, that is also wrong. It was only 4 people. Because Eden, Issue, Zingerbop, and me, we got it in the same month. I think Eden a little bit earlier, actually. Maybe a month earlier. But I know, this is funny, that came out 2 years later, that Zingerbop and me, we got our Know It run in DS1, and it was both our first at the same day. And we didn't know each other.
There's plenty I want to go down with No Hits, but I just want to go back to that start with speedrunning, and was curious what introduced you to the fact of, like, Super Mario. What was the one that made that the first speedrun game? Was it just trying to complete the game faster and faster, or was there something that introduced you to speedrunning as a concept?
I think this needs to go even way more back, when I actually started streaming. That was in 2015, February. No, January, end of January. Was mm-hmm. the first stream I ever did. It was on the PS4. And the first thing I streamed was Resident Evil 1 Remastered. It just came out, and it was a challenge run. And I was trying to beat the game without saving. So okay. It was basically a Notif run. And by that, like, I just streamed that because I liked the game and I didn't know what else I should do, like what's kind of interesting, you know. And from there, I continued doing challenges. And then especially in 2016, before DS3 came out, I did a lot of challenges in DS2. Some sort, just some stuff like pyro only, you know. Mm. Like not Notif or anything, just pyro only or shield only. And then I did the Notif run in Dark Souls 1 and in DS3. And I started playing a lot of Mario games because of my Wii U. I really enjoyed the console, by the way. It was great. Yeah. And then from there, I think I just tried it out with speedrunning. It was just trying. It was a very short speedrun. It was 11 exit. That means you just need to beat 11 levels. And it was like about 11 minutes or something. It was very short. Yeah, but it was fun.
Okay, we'll go back to No Hit, and then I'm going to deviate once we go to Demon Souls back to speedrunning. So after completing Dark Souls as your first No Hit run, what was then the next step in the Hitless journey?
It was Dark Souls 3. Like, my next step was I wanted to beat Dark Souls 3 and then Dark Souls 2, the any percent, to beat them all, mm-hmm. all the Dark Souls games.
Yeah.
And this took a while, I think. In August 2018, I got these one, and in March 2019, I got these 3.
Okay.
And then again, 3 months or 4 months later, I got these 2. Yeah. So yeah, that was the goal.
How was approaching DS3 and DS2 after having done the first one? Was it easier or more difficult, especially considering, at least I personally found DS3 to be a lot harder to learn?
I hated it. I hated Dark Souls 3 so much. 2 reasons. First of all, because it's very, very, very hard. And I think I can say it's objectively the hardest of those three with the whole boss concept. And the second reason is I was playing it on PlayStation 4 because my PC to that time was trash. And I had, you have 30 FPS then. And doing a Noid run on 30 FPS on the PS4 is not fun. It's not.
Sorry, and then into DS2?
Oh, yeah. And DS2 was... it was fine. Like, that was like after DS3 then, and I already beat 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was... I mean, it was hard, but it was okay. Like, It didn't feel impossible anymore. I think that is an important thing. Like, because before I beat the first one, it felt like an impossible thing. And with each no-hit run I got, it felt more and more like an... Like, just, okay, how much time do I put in? How much practice do I put in? And how much do I really want to get this? Yeah. So in these two already, I was like, yeah, okay, like, I can do that. Like, other people can do it. I can do it. So just go for it. And it was fine.
I think that's an interesting thought in terms of once it's, like, been proved to be done, then so many more people end up, like, doing it a lot more consistently.
Yeah.
I remember, like, Sekiro, for instance, because I, like, came in into the community through Sekiro. And it was, like, between Damageless and Hitless. And Hitless was not done as often. But then once more Hitless stuff was done, a lot more people got into it quite quickly, relatively.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And obviously, like, right from the start with Hob, like, completing Dark Souls and proving that it can be done Hitless, then people just went, oh, no hits, quite interesting.
Yeah, that's exactly how it worked. Also for me, It felt like when Hob got this run, he was the only person with DS1, and then they tried DS3, like 3, 4, or 5 people, was it?
Mm.
And it still felt impossible. It still felt like these guys are gods in these games. And I didn't know about, hey, if you practice it and if you know the strats, it's actually not that bad, right?
Mm.
And in Sekiro with Hitless, I think it was the same thing. It was just like it started to be a no damage thing more, and then more and more started with Hitless. And I also, my thoughts were not like, okay, it's impossible. It was just like more tedious, I would say. And now more and more got it, and now I'm trying it myself. More with the mindset of, hey, so many people got this Noid run, it can't be that bad.
I can't remember. There's a psychological effect similar to this, because it, like, there's in the wider world, I guess, there's like the famous case of the 4-minute mile, which everyone thought that was impossible, but as soon as that was broken, I think within the next year or so, I think 6 other people got it, broke it. It's that once that mental barrier is seen to be broken, then immediately everyone goes, like, it's becomes not more achievable, but I'd say it could be more achievable, or at least in people's minds on the mental side.
Yeah, I think it's with every run, with every game, and with every run. Yeah, even nowadays, like if someone comes around and tries a no hit run in, let's say, Diablo 2. Okay, I just said a game that came in my mind, and maybe for now it seems like impossible and way too RNG heavy, but hey, maybe there are strats, you just need to come up with them and maybe it works out, but that's obviously just a maybe.
Yeah, there's some, it just takes the right person and the right commitment in a lot of cases. Like Cosmic Born, for instance, who I've spoken to, did the Star Wars Fallen Order, which is like just under an 8-hour run.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, the commitment.
That run is huge. That run is huge. That's like so impressive that he actually just went through these 8 hours with this game. But also, I think he used half of the game, a mod that made him speeding up the cutscenes, because it's...
Oh, for definite.
The cutscenes are not skippable, and that makes it even worse for resets.
Yeah, just under 8 hours with the cutscenes being sped up. Would be much longer without.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a shame, because it looks like it's a really fun game that no one or very few people will attempt because of that fact.
Yeah, I think that's an important fact, right? Like length of a run, if you really want to do that or not.
I mean, Witcher 3 no hits probably still up for grabs somewhere. So going from the Dark Souls series, did you go into Bloodborne or Demon Souls afterwards?
I did. It was 2019. I did Bloodborne and Dark Souls 1 all bosses kind of almost at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
and because I wanted to beat Bloodborne, and I hated Bloodborne. It took me 2 weeks only.
Okay.
But these 2 weeks were so bad because I don't know why, but I couldn't get into this Bloodborne thing. I think I was also very lazy on learning it because mm-hmm. I really just wanted to get the 80%. And the 80% is kind of short compared to the others, right? It's just like 1 hour 10 when back in the day a DS2 or DS3 run was like 2 hours, right? It's just half of the time. But I also got like way more resets in Bloodborne, and that made it just so bad to me, yeah. And these one all bosses was then the first step of doing the whole game, mm-hmm. like the everything, yeah.
Because Dark Souls 1 DLC has some very tricky bosses compared to base game. Because obviously base game, your immediate thoughts can go to like Ornstein and Smough. And I guess before, like Better Chaos could have been horrendous before strats were found. But in terms of like difficulty, you've got the Guardian, Manus,
yeah.
Artorias. Yeah. Like pretty much all of them are like super difficult.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it depends. Like it's Jan Guardian. It's like he's in 4 shots down, but it's just increasing the difficulty on his attacks with his flying around and shooting lightning. Artorias was actually kind of fine, but Calamede and Manus it was the first two bosses I practiced a lot in this one with save files.
We'll come back to From Software in a sec, but can you tell me your experience of going away and learning Resident Evil 2?
Oh god, you opened the box of Pandora, I swear to god. Okay, so I bought Village because it came out, and I played Village, the new Resident Evil, and I was like, hey, I really like this game. And then I was like, I saw other people got it, no damage. And I was like, okay, then I will try it. It's something else, right? I did Souls, FromSoft all the time, and now it's a complete different game. And I enjoyed it. I had so much fun with this game, up to the point where I had to reset every single day in the last 15 minutes of the 3-hour run. And I started to hate the game. But I was not stopping playing it. I kept going to play the game because I really wanted to get the no damage. And that made me now, I never finished it. I stopped because I was hating I still hate the game so much just because of me hating the game already, but still grinding it. And I found no enjoyment out of this game anymore. And it's actually a cursed thing you can bring up in my stream. You will get banned. No, it's just, it was, the first 2 weeks were amazing. And then the third week, like, I did it for 4 weeks. The third week was, it started already to get like kind of tedious, and the fourth was the worst, and then I just stopped. And that was like this year, July, I think. No, it was June or something. And then in August, I tried Resident Evil 2, mm-hmm. and it was a great run. I can recommend everyone to try out Resident Evil 2, no damage. It's a short run. It has its sections where you have to focus, but also sections where you can kind of lay down and chill and rest your stress, and it's very, very balanced. It's very nice.
Yeah, seeing a very large amount of people doing the Resi 2 runs, it's been very popular recently. It's caught my interest.
Yeah, it's I think the most popular game in the Resident Evil series. Yeah. Yeah, it's just because it's perfectly balanced, IMO. From it's not too long, it's not too hard. You don't have to practice bosses into the death. Like you have to practice some parts, but you kind of get a rhythm out of it, and it's just fun to play with. I think that made the game so much fun for me was the part with the item inventory management.
Yep.
Because in this game you have like a minimum amount. And it was so fun to like go through all these areas and to think, okay, what do I really pick up? What do I need and what not? And that was kind of cool.
So described it as, and not like obviously not to say the words, so not that hard. And I just want to break down the definition of hard because to potentially a casual viewer, any sort of no damage, no hit is difficult. How would you classify a run or a no hit run that is harder than another no-hit run?
So first of all, it's let's say you have 2 hours, right, in two games, and it depends on what in these 2 hours, what do you have to do? Like, how many bosses do you have to kill? How many strats you need to use to get hitless through sections, right? Running sections, for example. And the more that is in those 2 hours, the harder IMO gets the run. So that means, and obviously some boss fights. So in Resident Evil, you have, but I did Claire A scenario, you have 4 boss fights. And in these 4 boss fights, they don't have a lot of, like the fights, there's not a lot to learn, okay? They have some attacks, but you don't really dodge them. It's more just you outspace it and you're good. But when we now get to maybe Dark Souls 3, any percent, 2 hours, same. But there are so many parts in between where you need perfect strats. Like, I throw the skull now into that angle, so I get the right amount of time to go through a section, right? To a skull to distract enemies. Things like that. And obviously the boss fights, like, they have so many attacks and pattern, and you need to memorize everything. And the more you have to memorize in a run, the harder it gets. And then that's how it starts, I would say. And the lower your PB gets, the more important your mindset becomes in no-hit running. And if you feel comfortable with what you do and chill, it will be very easy. But if you are nervous and stressed out and you're not sure about strats or boss fights, this can kill your run, because you make yourself think, okay, I maybe get hit now, I can't do this, right? And then you get hit because you did a mistake. On an easier run, if it's like not too much to memorize and to learn, you're like, yeah, I mean, I did this already a couple of times and I got it a couple of times. No, it's fine, and you go through it. That's, I think, would describe it the best.
Yeah, with a lot of runs, runners very quickly reach a skill ceiling, so to speak. And what I mean by that is the point of which, in terms of their play or their skill, they can get the run. And then it turns from the minute improvement on skill, which can still happen, to more of a mindset thing of being refined in those skills they've already developed. And keeping the run going during the late stages and during the resets, of course.
Yeah, on top of that, I think that is the most important thing about no-hit running and getting runs. You need to enjoy the game. Because I no-hit runs and games I did not enjoy as others. And that made getting the run or the game, it made it so much harder. Like, so much harder. For example, in the Demon Souls runs I got, I had so much fun because I really love this game. It's my favorite from all of these. And it made it automatically easier to get the no-hit runs. And if you don't like the game or the run you do, you will suffer so much because you need to enjoy it. Otherwise, it's just tedious to reset and do it over and over again.
So in terms of enjoyment then, how would you rank the runs that you've completed? So the From Software games and Resident Evil 2.
Oh, that is very hard because I did so many different runs within some games and I enjoyed more than others.
If we stick to just the any percents then of each.
Oh, the any percents. Oh, you want me like to actually rank the games, how I enjoyed them? I think Demon's Souls is number one, the remake. Mm-hmm. I also enjoyed the OG a lot, but definitely the remake. And afterwards there is DS1 for me. I would say... That's the thing, because I only did one run in Resident Evil 2, but it was really fun. I think I would say then Resident Evil 2, Bloodborne, DS3, and then DS2.
Sekiro Damageless?
Oh yeah, Sekiro. Oh, I forgot Sekiro. I would put this after DS1 and before Resident Evil 2 as third.
Not to go back to bad memories, so to speak, I was just curious, what was it about the last 15 minutes of Village? Because I've not looked into the run at all, unfortunately. But yeah.
Like, why I got so many hits, or like, why I lost so many runs there?
To the last 15 minutes, yeah. Is there a boss or RNG?
So, there was
Spoiler alert, just in case.
So there was one boss I had a lot of problems with, but this boss is apparently not that hard. I made myself this boss harder because I didn't understand it. That was my problem. I really didn't understand the boss fight. But at the same time, I did a mistake. I was practicing it, but I was not doing a lot of research. Okay. So because of that, I didn't know the boss really well and had many problems. And then I learned something and that boss was easier. And then after this boss, there is a section coming up where you kind of have to pray. Like, there are strats, but you have to pray that everything goes right. And these two reasons made me quitting the game, because everything before those 15 minutes was so safe. I actually got this every single day hitless. And then these three splits hit in like the last 15 minutes and I just couldn't make it.
I don't know that I should ask about Hollow Knight. Is that a conversation you'd like to talk about? Or...
Oh yeah, for sure.
Interesting, because... You've gone into Hollow Knight a couple of times and recently stopped with a message I saw in the Discord channel, so that's why I didn't know whether to query or not. So could you tell me about your experience with Hollow Knight, no damage or no hit, that so to speak, or both?
Honestly, this is I love Hollow Knight. I love the game. I put so many hours in this game, and honestly, every single person who no hits Hollow Knight has so much respect for me, because I personally think this is one of the hardest games. And I understand if there are runners or people who think this run is, or this game is easier. Because that's normal, right? Like, this is subjective. You can think that this game is easy and this is hard, and for me it's the other way around. And for me it's Hollow Knight. For me it's this so, so, so hard. Like, I actually have problems. But the reason why I stopped is I played with an Xbox One controller.
Okay.
And I played with the joystick, not with the D-pad, with the joystick. And this is the first, like, not only missed, it's terrible. Like, I missed so many hits because I was pressing up, but for the controller, it was not enough. And I thought I maybe pressed to the left, and then I hit to the left, but I needed to hit up. And then the enemy hits me, right? Because I couldn't reach the enemy. So... I was used to play with the joystick, so I was like, okay, I can get this one with the joystick. It won't work out. I need to use the D-pad. But the D-pad on the Xbox One controller is absolutely dog shit for Hollow Knight, in my opinion, because it's not only very small, it's like one huge button you move around, like up and left, and I didn't like that at all. So the perfect controller for me would be, for example, the PS5 controller, where you have like four separate buttons. I don't want to set up my PS5 controller on PC because I once did that and had so many problems to reconnect it to the PS5 that I was scared that I broke my controller, actually. So I was like, no, I'm not doing this. And I can't run Hollow Knight on PS5. I actually bought it, but it's like you have such a huge delay, like input delay. Like, you can feel the delay. It's that bad. So I was like, okay, guys, I can't run this game anymore. I get so many hits because I press something like up and then it's hitting to the left, and then I didn't like it anymore. Like, I love the game and I really would love to get the 90%, but I think it was not me having problems with the game. It was more like me having problems with the hardware.
Yeah, an interesting one that's the game that's super going to push and punish you in that regard, because being a 2D Metroidvania, contact damage is a thing, which that game is horrendous for in a lot of occasions.
It's so fast as well. Like, Hollow Knight is so fast paced, and if you click to the left and you click up, right, and your character hits then to the left, there is no time to save it. Like, you already failed then, and you probably get hit.
Like, Watch Your Knights, you need precision in that fight.
Yeah.
So let's move away from any percents and into a very notable world's first you've achieved, which was your all achievements DS1 no hit run, a run that is just under 8 hours, completed in just under 8 hours. Could you give a breakdown for those who may not know in what that entails in all achievements, DS1, No Hit Run?
So it's from killing not all bosses, but killing a certain amount of bosses. For all achievements, you don't have to enter the DLC of Dark Souls 1 at all. Like, I was not touching the DLC at all. So I was killing all the main game bosses next to upgrading all types of weapon to max. That includes, for example, fire infusion, magic infusion, holy infusion, all of them. Also getting all magic spells, that includes sorcery, pyro, and miracle. You don't have to get all rings. You don't have to get geishas, but the covenants, there were many things you have to upgrade, because at the end of a government you got a spell most of the time, and then it's all boss weapons. That includes, for example, that I had to kill Sif, I think was it, 3 times in total to get his soul, 3 times, so I can make 3 different weapons. So that means I had to get into playthrough New Game Plus 2, and some couple other little achievements.
Which requires playing through the entire game at least twice through to do that,
correct? Exactly. Oh yeah, for the 2 endings, of course, too. Exactly, because this one has 2 endings for them, and then into New Game Plus 3, and then I did there a couple of things, and yeah. New Game Plus 2.
How did you go through Ornstein and Smough that's that much?
It was just twice.
I know, yeah, twice is too much.
It's not that bad. Like, this is a common myth about Ornstein and Smough. This is a boss fight where many new player or player who put a certain amount of time into it, but not like an extreme amount of time, think that this boss is like all time glitchy and not possible to work with. But actually, if you have if you spend a lot of time in this fight, you will notice that you can work even with those glitches. It's not really a glitch, but with those I would say problems, and you can work with the boss. So yeah,
I must push back on that. With glitchy, and that is some dodgy stuff going on, right?
Yeah, like sometimes it can be very bad, but yep. Even you can even move around, so you prevent that this is not happening. But I think the worst is not like the boss itself. The worst for me, especially in all achievement, was that I had to kill Super Ornstein. And I had zero knowledge about how to kill Super Ornstein.
Okay. Yeah.
It was terrible. But it worked out.
So just to explain, so that'd be on one playthrough killing Smo, so that you could do Super Ornstein, and then on the on the reverse one, it'd be killing Ornstein, which in a traditional Dark Souls any percent, that would be the method, because Super Smo has a relatively alright moveset. I don't know about Ornstein, as I imagine not many people do, because no one does that.
Yeah, the hitboxes and the attacks are terrible compared to Super Smough. Super Smough is very chill.
How long was you doing this run for?
I actually know the exact amount of time. It was like a little bit more than 200 hours within 2 months.
Was it one continuous point, or did you take breaks?
I think I took a break of 1 week or two. 1.5 weeks in between, but because I was sick and I couldn't stream.
Ah, okay, fair.
Yeah.
So all achievements being a very long run, another long one that you've done is the trilogy. What similarities or differences, one huge difference being that there's 3 different games, did you find going between doing a marathon or multiple game run and doing one very long run?
So marathon with the trilogy is, I think what's so hard on this is like that you have 3 different games and all 3 are kind of different to play, right? And this makes it so, so hard, because you have to get used to all these 3 games, then memorizing all the strats and boss fights. And we know that always something happens that is kind of RNG-like, and you have to work with that then. And in the all achievement, for example, where I only had 1 character, which I used to go through multiple playthroughs, is that it was way easier because I already were leveled in the second playthrough, right? Like, I already had all the spells and everything I need to kill the bosses very easy, and all the little enemies in between. And with the marathon, you always start with a fresh game of each game, and then you have to build it up, right? And then you have like this curve, this difficulty curve that goes up, right? And in the all achievement, I also had curves in there, but in NG Plus, it was like not on every single boss. It was just few steps.
Did you have a strong or weak game in the trilogy that you then ordered, or was it random each time?
These two. It took me, the trilogy, I got this, it took me 1 month, exactly 30 streams. And I was 1 week only grinding these two, and I couldn't get it. To mention that, I got the these two any percent in 2019, and then I was not running this game for 2 years. And then for the trilogy, I came back to it, which made it harder. I played the other games a little bit more. Then I was grinding this game for 1 week straight, and I couldn't get an any percent. And the fun fact about my trilogy is, in those 30 streams, I only got the DS2 once, and then it was in the trilogy.
Time. Yeah. Perfect.
And I only got into third game once, and that was in the trilogy.
I mean, why do it again? Just once and once.
Yeah, like I was like in third game, I was like, okay, well, better to finish now, right? No, it was just that is something maybe other people would argue about, but skill is very important, but also obviously the mindset is so important about this, because if you get too anxious or stressed about stuff, it can kill a run. But another thing is luck. You just need the right day where everything works out. And that day when I got the trilogy within 30 days was just a lucky day. I am pretty sure if I haven't got the run that day, maybe I would still grind on it. I don't know.
How would you differentiate luck and RNG?
Luck is more like when the RNG hits you, but it's good. And RNG is when it's bad. Yeah, it's like luck is really if you maybe do a mistake, but it works out and you don't get hit. And then there are some RNG spots where something happens and you have to deal with it and you're not used to it. And this kills you then, because marathon runs are all about consistency. You need to be consistent with everything, and RNG kills consistency.
And especially with longer runs or marathon runs, it increases the chance for the RNG to punish.
Oh yeah. Exactly.
Giving it more attempts, that's it. on that final run, what order was DS2? What placement was DS2?
Second. I did DS1, then 2, and then 3.
Oh, perfect.
Because DS2 was my most weak game, I wanted to get it in first game or second game, and not as last. And I don't wanted to get DS1 as last game, because DS1 is my most consistent of all three. So someone could argue, hey, then you should do it as last, right? Because you're most consistent. But I knew if I would get hit in DS1 in last and in third game only once, it would kill my mindset, my whole mindset of this is my most consistent run. And yeah, that's why I try to avoid DS1 in third game.
Let's go into Demon Souls, specifically the Demon Souls remake. You have done a lot in this game. So the first thing I would probably ask is, what was your favorite niche run that you've done on them? As you have done.
Bow only.
Interesting.
Bow only. That was great. I had so much fun with bow only. The start was terrible because I had to kill Flame Lurker very early, and this took forever. I got a very nice cheese that made him kind of easy, but just takes long. But bow only was so fun because in the middle or end of the game, I just perched every single enemy within one arrow shot. And that was very funny.
I was quite interested in you've also done a no roll, no hit run. How did that end up going, both on the learning and...
Oh, that was actually my least favorite of all of them, because I started to not enjoy it at the end. That's why. That's again the enjoy thing, right? If you enjoy something, it's easier. So I stopped enjoying it because you go through a game and you want to no hit it, and this not getting hit already stresses you, right? And now on top of that, I was anxious to just hit B and roll just by accident. And that was so bad, like being anxious of not getting hit and also at the same time being anxious of not doing just by accident a roll, all to both together were so bad that I, yeah, I didn't really hate it, but it was my least favorite because both of it was very hard then, yeah, to go through.
On a much lesser degree, I've recently been playing Celeste. I don't know how familiar you are. It's a platformer. But
yeah,
there's a golden strawberry or a collectible item, which is strawberries in the game. And one of them you have to do by not dashing. And it has some very, very like weird jumps. And it takes a very long time. And during the very later stages, I was so paranoid about like pressing the button.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. Yeah. It's the exact same thing. Yeah.
Can you remap buttons in Demon's Souls? Or I guess probably not, or else that'd been done.
What do you mean with remap?
So go into the controller configuration and like remove the button or change the button that roll is.
Oh, the remap the no, that's not possible. That's the thing I would have loved to do, but impossible.
So aside from no hits, you also have at the time of the recording, at least, and hopefully for longer, yeah, the world record in the glitchless any percent no PS warp. First of all, could you explain to people who might not know, including myself, what no PS warp means?
Yeah. So they added a really, in my opinion, stupid feature to the PlayStation 5. You have panels when you press the PlayStation button. And in Demon's Souls, you can use that with PlayStation Plus to get back to the previous world you've been in. In Demon's Souls, you have five?
Yep.
Yeah? One, two, three, four. Five worlds. So that means if I'm in an Archstone in a world and then I port somewhere else and I could do the whole world, right? Without porting somewhere, I just do the whole world. I could press the PlayStation button and press this panel and my character would port to the last Archstone I used. And this is not only faster, because usually you would have to go back to the Nexus, then go to the Archstone. This would be in the OG. In the remake, they added an item after, I think after one Archdemon, maybe it's after Storm King, I'm not pretty sure, that you can actually port between Archstones, like the little ones, like in Worlds the ones. So usually you have to do this, but with this button, you just port within seconds to the previous world. Yeah. And on top of that, and that is very important for then speedrunning, is you keep your HP. So that means if you have in Demon's Souls, it's called Clever Red's Ring instead of RTSR, the Red Tearstone Ring, that increases your HP on a damage on a low HP. So let's say you have this set up for the last boss in a world, and then you hit the PlayStation button and use the PS Plus warp to warp back in another world, you will keep the HP. And that changes everything of speedrunning, obviously, because you don't have to set it up.
So your HP would remain the same, so you would still be in that rat ring zone. So
exactly. Exactly. It's the exact same then. Yeah.
So mention that you've done several no-hit runs of various niches and various restrictions. It sounds like I might want to go backwards a step. What was it about Demon's Souls Remake that made you want to do all these runs, first of all?
Just because I love the game. I love the game so much. I've never loved another FromSoft as much as I love Demon's Souls. That's why.
And for that... Oh, sorry.
Just pure enjoyment of the game.
And for that same reason, did you then move or, I believe, continue with Hitless, but then go into speedrunning as well?
Yeah, before I did the Demon's Souls OG, I tried a speedrunning it, like, once. And then I was like, hey, there are some strats that could be very helpful for no-hitting that game. And then I no-hitted OG. So there, after all these no-hit runs, I felt like, I'm done. I did so much, I'm kind of done, but I keep wanting to play the game. So I was like, yeah, I'm trying to glitchless speedrun it, yeah. And I got the world record in it, but reason is because everyone knows PlayStation 5s. No one has one. It's very, very, very rare, right? And not a lot of people running Demon's Souls. And also on top of that, if someone is speedrunning Demon's Souls, the any percent category is, I would say, the more famous one, yeah.
Well, the only difference between any percent and no boss is, I believe, is Vanguard, isn't it? Or is there any other differences?
Yeah, so there is no all bosses category, actually. At least for speedrunning.
Oh, they just don't care about Vanguard.
Yeah, no, because it makes no sense. In speedrunning, it would be literally just run up to him and let him kill you. And that's like 2 minutes. And just because of that, they, I think, decided yet to not do Vanguard then. And it makes sense because it's just stupid, yeah.
As opposed to Hitless, where we do have the 80% and the old bosses. So, learning these runs, let's start with Hitless. How do you approach a new no-hit run in terms of learning it?
So when someone wants to learn no-hit, right?
Say you're going into a new game, it could be Hollow Knight, or Sekiro at the current point might be a better one. So approaching Sekiro, Hitless, how did you approach learning that run?
So Sekiro was a bit different because I did no damage before, so I kind of knew the bosses and everything. Now it's just hard because I have to deflect everything perfectly. But if I would say maybe a different game, I always start to check it out first. Like, okay, where do I... Like, the most important is, like, the basic of the route. Okay, what do I have to pick up and where do I have to go? And when I have this done, I go into practicing a little bit more in detail than, okay, how do I go through this area or how do I kill this boss? But this depends because, for example, in Demon's Souls, it's on the PlayStation 5, you can do only one save file, which makes it very tedious. I was not practicing at all. Just practice. I always just did runs, and within these runs, I practiced. And when I got to this point where I was really close to get a no-hit run, but I got hit, I did not reset. I did the section where I got hit, or the boss, in detail for maybe 30 minutes again to try out things to make sure that the next time when I get there, I can get no-hit. Yeah.
So do you do a lot of... Because people approach the runs in different ways. Like, some people... complete a lot of runs, and some people like resetting and like grinding out the early stage to get better at it. Do you have a preference between those two? Do you complete a lot of runs?
This is the thing. I think it depends. For Sekiro is a good example. I have there like a point. Like, currently I feel very inconsistent with everything because I'm new to it, and that makes me, okay, I want to do full runs, right, to practice everything and not only the early stages. But I catch myself resetting a lot then in the early stages if I get too many hits and I know, hey, you did this multiple times already, Hitless, these hits are unnecessary, restart, try it again. But I think in general it is better to do full runs. And even this is like a little tip I can give, is when you're really close to get a no-hit run, like when your PB, your personal best is 1 or 2, right? And you reset all the time, maybe in early game or mid game, and you have a lot of resets. Even when your run dies and you get more hits than your PB is, do a full run in a week or 2 full runs in a week, and the whole run feels way more refreshed to you. Because these resets you do over and over and over again makes, like, feel the run is way longer than it actually is.
Yeah, definitely. And a point to add on that, it can lead to a point, which I've had for the couple of runs, in where your late game gets rusty because of how many early game resets you've done.
Yeah, that can also happen. Exactly, yeah. Or you get to this point where you grind it so long that your early game is perfect, and then you get into mid and late game and then you have problems there. But if you're not doing a full runs, you then continue maybe practicing the mid game, and if you do another reset, then you go even more times through the early game, and that makes running the game, I think, in my opinion, harder, because then you start to maybe not enjoy the game anymore because you do so many resets. Obviously, if you get like, if you have a one-hit PB, the only better thing you can get is the no-hit run, right? And if you get hit, you probably want to reset. But sometimes it's just a good thing to do a full run, even with a lot of hits, because it makes the run refreshed. Feel refreshed.
So that's the approach for Hitless. Is it similar for speedrunning or different?
Oh, in speedrunning, I think in speedrunning, I always practiced way more than in no-hit running. Because it's about time, obviously. That means everything just needs to be perfect. And to make everything perfect, you have to do it again and again and again and again and practice. So if you reach that point that it works out, right? And not that you lose the run. And because of that, I always, when I were speedrunning a game, I did so many resets, like way more than annoyed running.
So within speedrunning, what makes you reset, or what's something you notice or something goes wrong that makes you go, okay, this is a reset moment?
It can be when you die, for example, in Dark Souls or Demon's Souls somewhere, and you know to get back to this point would take way too much time. Good example is Dirty Colossus. There's like this big swamp, and go through the whole swamp would take so long. It depends on your PB, obviously, like, right? If your PB is like 2 hours, and even if you get through the swamp twice and you still can PB, you should like try again and continue. But the better your PB is and your better your runs get, the faster you start to reset on things where you know, okay, if I don't get this right, I have to reset because I can save this time later.
So it talks about when you were starting no hit or in the early days, so to speak, you had to like create or did some routine yourself, and you've also done guides as well. Is guide or strat making something you enjoy doing? Or
I think making strats is where always for me the best thing about challenge running and node running. It makes so much fun to come up with new stuff and try out things and how make things more consistent, everything. I personally don't enjoy making guides or commentaries. This is more like for the community thing. Because if me, for example, who put a lot of time into Demon's Souls, I don't keep that all for myself, right? The best is to make a guide so everyone else after me has access to that knowledge and it makes it easier for them, right?
Yeah, I have a very similar thing because I make a few guides here and there, and it's like spend all this time learning how to do this. It would be in my opinion, a little bit of a waste to just sort of forget it, which yeah. I would end up doing. I might as well make a guide whilst I'm at it.
Yeah, it's true. Like it's literally just waste of time for the people who start with the run, right? Like if they can watch a run, or even better, a guide, the guy who got the run and explains it in detail, it just skips unnecessary steps in getting the run.
So let's move into Team Hitless, which is a no-hit community of no-hit runners, of course.
Yep.
And you being from the early days, were you there at the genesis, or what was your first involvement with Team Hitless and your current involvement now?
So when I joined Team Hitless, the team on Twitch, there were 35, 36 people in the team. So 30 people who got a no-hit run in a game. And I did not more. There was no Discord. There was no place where you can look up rules or anything. I always explain it as a big fog of people think that is right and that is wrong. Because we know, if you get hit or block something that's a hit, that's easy, right? But there are so many exceptions within runs where people are not sure if this is correct. Like, I come from a time where people thought using a shield or using magic is forbidden in a no-hit run. To get into the team.
Yeah.
That was only because when it was about, like when Faraz, Hop, and Squilla tried to get the D3 worlds first, they underneath each other said, hey, yo, guys, let's not use shields and magic to make it harder on ourselves, right? And everyone agreed with that. And that's why the people, or most people, thought it's forbidden in general to get into the team. And at some point, Squilla, who made the team, made a Discord, but it was not really, it just had a view channels and a voice channel. It was like not managed or anything. It was just like we joined there and people started to share their no-hit runs a little bit. It was like that. And then out of there, it was in 2020. Yeah, last year in March, Gino, Eden, a mod from Eden, Aaron, and myself, we decided to make a Discord with a bunch of channels for each game, like each game that was presented for Team Hitless. We just wanted to gather we just wanted to make a better Discord where people can join and look up things for no hitting, right? where they can find guides, where they can find people who enjoy not only members of the team, also just people who like Souls maybe, or who wants to get into the team. And out of that, I think Corona was a terrible thing, but I think because of Corona and the lockdowns, so many people did no hit and started no hitting because they had more time at home. And that was actually a thing. Like within this time, we had to check so many new runs for people to want to get into the team. And now each month it's getting bigger and bigger, the community, and now it's massive. It's like already so big. More than I think we're already at 3,000, 3,700 people in the Discord. That's absolutely amazing.
And that's not even including the subs, the wrong word, but like sub parts of it, or separate parts of it, that's probably a better term, separate communities, such as like the Spanish community, and now like Italian, and exactly. I'm sure I've seen a couple of others sprout up in there.
Exactly. They have like this, especially the Spanish community grew in the past year so big. I mean, their Discord is, I think, maybe not even bigger than general official team midlist team Discord.
It must be similar.
That's just amazing. That's just amazing. I think that's absolutely great. That just shows how much passion is behind those no hit runs, and it's just nice to see how everyone now helps each other in the runs as well. Because when I did no hit back in the day, and there was no Discord and not even like written rules, which is so important for a community, right? Or like at least to make it more so people can compare their runs, right? Like, for example, if you would do a no-hit run and I would do a no-hit run, but I would start to cheat in my no-hit run with like cheat engine to get more souls and stuff like that. Obviously not the same, right? But that's why written rules are so important. And because we have this now, it was so much harder back in the day there was like nothing, right? There was no written rules, there was no guides. And it's just nice to see that everyone has now access to that stuff, and that we all work together on big things to make the community even bigger. Like, for example, recently, especially through Chuzo and the Spanish community, we got the no-hit tag on Twitch. The whole community, everyone came around and voted, and there were more than 10,000 votes for that. And we were actually there were 50 tags, I think, for the vote, or one maybe, I'm not pretty sure. Maybe more tags. And we were the second most voted tag, the no-hit tag.
It's growing at a continuously exponential rate, with so many stuff like adding to it as well. A big thing as well as the growing awareness kind of the brand, a couple of things have been like the Carl Jobst relatively recent video at this point, or at this point of recording, which was the main focus was on Dino's Soulsborne SL1, but was more so, or as well as, a public showcase of no hits for a general audience, let's say, which I thought was really good, because it introduced and I imagine caused a lot of people to.
It was great, to
say hello in the Discord, let's say, or join. One thing I just want to note on, we were just talking about like classic rules, saying about no shields. That's if you ever see or ever look at any old runs in DS3, you'll see people parry Pontiff with the hand. that was a common thing because of that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because like many people thought shields are forbidden, right? And like for me, for example, when I started DS3, I started to use a shield, right? And there were people coming into my stream and said, "Yo, that's forbidden, dude. You can't use the shield." And I was like, "Huh? I used the shield in DS1 like everyone else. Why should it be forbidden in DS3 now, right?" And there was someone made a wiki, I think, about these rules Faraz and Hop and all them did for this world's first race, right? And that was like one of the first things that popped up if you put this into Google search. And that's, I think, was why, because so many people thought it's real.
Whenever I hear like forbidden, it feels like you're gonna be struck by lightning or something, like when you like got it equipped. It's just like it's forbidden to do so, to have a shield on.
it was very bad. Like it was, I remember that when Squilla made this little Discord, like not the current Discord we have, I mean the first Discord of Team Hitless, and he even put some rules in it, just general rules. What a hit is, right? And I was like, I messaged him once. I was like, did you maybe, like, dude, are you okay with people using magic in their runs? And I was not talking about magic only. I was like talking about hybrid. What we call hybrid is like if you use melee weapons, but like a, let's say a sword, but also magic at the same time. I was like, are you okay with that? And he was like, yeah, sure, dude. Like everyone can do whatever he wants unless he's not getting hit, right? And he never used magic because he wanted to make the challenge, right, without using magic. And then I was like, okay, maybe you should add this there so people know, oh, they can use magic. And then we, and out of this and some other things, we started to make like rules for every game.
I wanted to ask because recently there's been a change up to do with verification, to do with all runs now being verified because of cheating instances, and was interested in your opinion on, because as opposed to speedrunning, which has a competitive aspect to it, Hitless is predominantly a personal challenge, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
What do you think the reason why someone cheats in a Hitless run?
I don't fucking know. Like, my honest opinion, if someone cheats in a Hitless run, this is so cringe. Because, as you said, it's not about competitive, it's your own challenge. And my, like, I thought about it, and what I think is, that's the only thing that makes sense, is they cheat to get the run easy, so the community and people think, oh, he did something great.
Right.
And even though it's not, right, because he cheated. But I think that's the only reason why someone would cheat. Get a run, like, maybe if someone is, like, grinding for a long time on a run and he's, like, he wants to get it, but he can't, and he starts to cheat just to finish it, I guess. But even that is so cringe, dude. Just don't cheat in a challenge run. Like, why? Just then, like, my advice is, then go ahead, don't do this anymore. And even if you put a lot of time into it, and try another challenge or a different game, Hitless, maybe, before you cheat.
And then they just go ahead.
This is, yeah, okay, yeah. It's so terrible. I don't know. I don't know. Like, the thing is, but then on the other hand, if someone cheats, I know that meant, like, it kind of, he's kind of, are we allowed to swear, yeah, actually? Yeah. Okay, so it's like he pisses on everyone else's run with that, right? Everyone who put a lot of time and effort into this, right? But at the same time, it's not like that this guy was a bad person. Like, he's, you know, like racist or anything. No, he just cheated in a game, right? So even though it's a terrible thing and you shouldn't do that because it's stupid, it's not like the worst thing on earth. So if someone would cheat, I would like not even be mad at the person. I would just say, yo, you cheated, you're out. That's it. Like, I don't care.
Cheating's an interesting one, because not just so sort of away from like Hitless in particular, but it's a huge source of drama in certain cases. And I think that's why like YouTube loves it. Like, there's so many million viewed videos with cheater expose or speedrunning cheats or inserts X.
Yeah, because some are also fun to watch. Like, there was this guy in I watched a video about this guy who cheated because he pretended to do a Super Mario 64 blindfolded speedrun
video.
This video was so well made. Like, it's like not only he exposes him, it's also like he had an exciting curve of bringing his thoughts on that and shows everything, like how he messed up, right? And that was really fun to watch. Yeah, I don't know, I mean, personally, I also like to watch some of those videos, because that's also the thing, like some cheaters or some situations are way worse than others. Like, some of them, when it get, like, for example, gets on a world record or for example on this blindfolded guy who says he did three runs so far and it's easy for him, you know, and you already know as a person who even not speedrunning this game, you know, that's impossible. There's no way he's like did this three times and can do his blindfolded in like 1.5 hours, right?
Yeah, the guy who made that video is very witty in his commentary over that. It's a really good video.
It was a great video. I recommend it to everyone.
I believe he's called Charlie Brown 64. I'm almost certain that's the so I'd look that up. It's video that he's done. I believe it was his. It's probably not his first video, but first video on that channel and went to like 7 million views or something like that. It's pretty insane, really.
Yeah. It blew up, yeah.
So being involved in as a moderator on Team Hitless, along with other great, amazing moderators in building and cultivating this community, what's something that happens behind the scenes in the working and building that people might not be aware of?
What people are not aware of?
In the general community who don't like, who are not in the know.
Not aware of the work. Yeah, it's so much more work than you can think of. It's so much. It's, I think most people can't imagine it, but it's every single day. I'm not joking. Like I this is not my job, right? I do this for fun as my hobby. I work actually in real life in a job, in an actual job, IRL. Right? And make my money. And next to it, an IRL, and next to it, I do this for fun. And it's almost like a second job because I every single day I put hours into coordinating stuff, answering people's questions, not only in the Discord, like private questions, having calls with other people about stuff, organizing events now, and there's a lot. It's so much that we, and especially because the community grew, right? And especially because we added new games to Team Hitless. There is so much to coordinate that we have even now weekly meetings where we have to discuss and talk about stuff. Because otherwise we're not able to manage everything. And it's, yeah. So people who don't know it should be aware of how much time we put in there. And on top of that, now we started to check every run, right? As you said, because of cheating instances, right? Every run that gets on the website has been checked. And there are 50 verifiers, and we check, like, I think in October, I just counted it, were 120 runs to check, just in October. And even if you speed it up, right, you can speed it up on the video, that's a lot of time. And we all, like, all these verifiers, we all do this in our free time.
If there's one thing I could ask is if people could submit by YouTube, because Twitch VOD is horrendous to go through. Like, YouTube is so nice because it at least has like a preview aspect and you don't get the ads.
Yeah, we have both, yeah, like with Twitch. And I mostly watch it a little bit speed up, obviously, like not in, that would take too long. Like, I don't have the time for that.
Events we'll go into events in a sec. To do with those additional games, so obviously the Team Hitless originated as From Software based, and now it's grown to include like Hollow Knight being the first one, then Cuphead, and then Resident Evil broke in with 8 additional games.
Yes.
And now Hades being the most recent. Been mad, so there's actually more Resident Evil. There's like more, as almost as many Resident Evil games as there is other games in the same.
There's games in general, yeah. Yeah, it's. I don't want to say much about it, but I can already say that we're working on more, that more.
So obviously not specifics as secrets, but what makes a potential Hitless game? What features of a game does it have to have?
So the most important thing is that there are runners in. Like if the game has only one runner, like let's say, hey, give me a game, just an old one. Like, I don't know, let's say game literally no one no-hitted before. Let's say BioShock, okay? Because I'm working on that and no one no-hitted it before. And let's say I got this now and I would submit it and I would tell the team of Team Hitless, the mod team, yeah, it's me alone and there's no one else interested in. That just shows that adding this game would be more work for us than people would enjoy no hitting it. And that's why we added a channel on the Discord for just variety hit lists, because people still can showcase what they do, because every single no hit run, unless it's something like Euro Truck Simulator and you do like one highway from one city to the other hit list, you know what I mean? Every single no hit run is amazing and a showcase is important there. And maybe out of that, more people gets interested in, right? And can try this game to know it. And maybe out of that, some sort of a community grows. And that's what we're looking for. We look for games where there's a community around it. Because then we can combine everything together and then everything can grow. If we just add games, then it would be a lot of work for us. And maybe no one gets something out of it.
I gotta say, like, Team Hitlist then becoming a hub of various communities joining together, so to speak. Like, the Hades community is now being part of it, so then people from the Hollow Knight community may have a look and go, oh, Hades, I fancy that, and, like, cross-contaminating kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we want, because that makes beauty out of it then.
So going on to events, as this year, or very recently, at time of calling at least, events have now started from Team Hitless's own Twitch channel, so twitch.tv/TeamHitless, starting with like a showcase of the games. Let's start with the organising. How did the organising of those events, how's that been? Because first of all, the events have been hugely successful, like me and Spiral, like, commentated like the Hollow Knight one, and just the numbers seen as we were doing that was like there was a huge popular,
very,
like,
amazing
demand for it.
Yeah, it was very amazing. Yeah, so we started just recently because we also just recently got more mods. So this is like a lot of work to put on an event, obviously. It's like from organizing to what's good for the community, what wants the community, to, okay, we need runners, we need commentators, we need a host for it, who streams it, and all needs to be matched in time.
Various, right? Time zones as well with runners and...
With the time... I hate time zones. I have to say that I hate time zones so much. And because recently we got more mods so we can share more work, like the work we have, that made it obviously easier so we could start doing events and setting everything up. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. We just announced a new one. In a month, we're gonna have our first charity event where every single person who loves the community or loves to help in charity can stream and join with a link and help to gather money for the, let me not say it wrong, for the American Heart Association or with them. And I'm looking forward to that, but at the same time, we've been working on that now for 2 weeks already, I think. One, 2 weeks, and the next 3-4 weeks we'll be working on that everything works out at the end, right?
Talk about planning. How about the participation aspect? So you've participated in both aspects, being running and commentating. Do you find, like, the competitive aspects? I mean, it's more of a showcase, but do you also enjoy, like, yeah, the competitive aspects of doing the runs?
Personally, no. I don't like... I personally... Like, it's hard to say, like, when I start or when I'm about to do it, I'm, like, very nervous, obviously, and I don't really like it. Afterwards, I think, like, it was an amazing thing to do, and it was cool. But I never really enjoy doing it, because I think I'm just not used to the stress. And I mean, it's fun. I don't want to scare anyone. It's just me, personally, who is, like, then a little bit more stressed out and then makes it hard to enjoy, obviously. I think I love commentating more and enjoying people running within these events than running itself.
Because you commentated Dark Souls, CBD v. Barker, I believe. Is that right?
I think so, yeah. It was a Dark Souls 1. A Dark Souls 1, I commentated more, but for the Team Hitless, it was the Dark Souls 1. Yeah, and now Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, this previous weekend, wasn't it? The Halloween event.
Exactly.
So what is it about commentating? Is it just, like, the more relaxed, able to speak through, like, your knowledge of the game as people are running?
Yeah, it's just the... your input you can put in. And I'm a person who loves to entertain people, and I personally think I can entertain them more when I speak and commentate than run.
Speak about entertaining, let's take that to move into live streaming. So we've gone into, like, you're starting to live stream it and been doing it for a while. What is it about live streaming that's kept you with it for so long? What is it you enjoy about it?
I think it was before, like, I love playing video games since I'm like 3 years old or something. And before streaming, I was just playing games. And I think it came out of me being really bored. And with the streaming, I had just something I can work on. And on top of that, I really, as I said, and love to entertain people, and yeah, I enjoy that. And then it became my hobby.
So what is career? You mentioned early in the conversation that you started in German. What caused the change to then start streaming in English?
Oh yeah, the Hitless community, actually, because just more people were non-German speakers, and there were so many lovely people in the community, and the community was it was already big, right, at the end of 2019, but not compared to now. Like, it was really big, but compared to now it was kind of small. And there were so many lovely people I met I could have never met if I not, like, broke out of my own comfort zone and tried to write more English or go more into English streams and all that, and even then speak English in my own stream. And because I kind of started to not only be in the German bubble and started to be more also in the English speaking bubble, I had more and more people coming into my stream who were not able to understand German. So I was, like, doing both for a long time, like for almost half a year. I was, like, deciding if I speak German or English depending on the chat. Like, if more people were German, I was speaking German. If more people were speaking English, I was speaking English. But I also were not really capable of speaking English very good. Like, I still think I'm not very good. It's like, you know.
I mean, I would disagree, but I think your English is fine. I think.
Yeah, many people. Yeah, maybe it's just me there. Yeah. On some point, then in the middle of last year, I said, you know what? I just do English only, and since then, I'm English only, and I think I enjoy it way more. And on top of that, I practice my second language, right? Speaking my second language and being able to have a lovely podcast with a lovely person called Loki. Perfect.
Did you have a reasonable grasp of English prior, or as this involvement helps improve it a lot? So, like, where did you originally learn, like, your initial grasp of English? Oh,
so it's that's a German thing. Like, we learn it in school, but the school system for speaking a different second, third language, whatever, is terrible. Because we don't speak the language here. We learn the grammar and vocabulary, but sometimes we speak it, but not all the time. Like, not at all. Like, I would say of a two-hour lessons, we spoke maybe 10 minutes, 50 minutes. So speaking the language is the most important part, I think, to learn it then. And I was able then over my years in school, and also a lot of content comes just from English speaking parts and YouTube, right? Watching YouTube videos and whatsoever. I just learned to listen and to understand and to write and understand to read it and understand, but I was not capable to speak it because I just couldn't do it because I never really did it, right? And then I started because of my stream, and it started like that. I started to translate in my head, you know, like I was speaking in my head, okay, German, and now I try to translate that in English, so I speak English. But now it's totally different, and I don't translate anymore. I literally speak the language.
Which is super cool.
Thanks.
I think it's, I don't know if underappreciated is the right word. I think it is the right word, but, like, speaking English isn't, like, just a thing. Like, it's, like, so many people, like, just, like, speak English as their second language, and it's sort of taken for granted by a lot of people who, like, have English as the first language. It's like, no, like, this person has spent a decent amount of time learning to converse in a second language and do it well, and it's always impressive. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why that English is, like, taken as a lesser one. I don't know. I don't get it. I think it's just always impressive.
The thing is, like, first of all, English is obviously the world language, right? So it just makes sense. And I totally understand if you grew up in an English speaking country, or it's your native language, that you don't need to learn a different language necessarily. Depends on what your plans are, right? When you want to move to Germany, you should be able to speak German. But other than that, you don't need it, right? It's the world language. You don't need a different language. And I think that's the important part. Like, if you don't need it, then you have less motivation and putting time in it, right? And for me, it was at the start, like, just to pass the school. And now it's important for me to, so people in the internet can understand what I'm saying.
Sort of a, still relating to streaming, but sort of a very weird tangent. But as I was doing prep for this, I found a certain clip that I needed context for. That is called Kazood Smash, which shows a DS2 clip getting hit by a mob outside of Last Giant Arena, which led to a rip for a keyboard. And I just had to ask for context because it shows it being the first game in the trilogy, and I needed more information.
So the thing is, I just wanted to ask because I have a lot of Smash Smash clips. I just today, one got created. The thing is, so first of all, before I get to this clip, like, if I smash something, it is literally my emotion and not being just an entertainment or something, you know? It's literally me, personally me. I would do the same if I wouldn't stream. And the next thing is, I always smash things. Like, I'm actually very talented in smashing things because before I smash something, I have just little seconds, but it's enough to think about if it's worth or not. And today I were so close to smash my PS5 controller against the wall, but I put it down because I knew, dude, if I smash this and it breaks, I have no other controller. I cannot stream that anymore. And I have to buy a new one, which is very expensive. So I grabbed my cup and smashed the cup because I knew I have a lot of cups.
It's like weighing up the worth in the moment.
Exactly. I'm actually able to do that. Is it worth or not? So, and in this clip with these two, is it was in the trilogy grind, and that was the closest run where I got to beat these two in these 30 streams. Okay. And remember when I said, like, I was grinding it for a week, and then I was so close, and then I got raided, and I was talking to them, and I used to kill Forlorn all the time, but then someone mentioned, hey, if you go into the Last Giant Arena, he will disappear. I was like, yeah, okay, I will do that. And I was going down there, and I was talking to the raid, turned around, and totally forgot that there is an enemy. I usually kill when you go to Last Giant, and I'm not down there, right, at the end of the game. And that's what hit me, and yeah, that's why I was so emotional, because it was like after 1 week grind, and I was so close to get it, and then I lost it because I was not focused on the game anymore, I was focused on the chat.
Yeah. No worries. The last thing I wanted to ask before going in some quick questions was your name origin, actually.
Oh yeah, that's easy. My first name My first name on Twitch was the PlayStation nickname I had on PlayStation. My PlayStation nickname, yeah, I had a PlayStation. Because I thought I stream from the PlayStation, so it might make sense. And that was Kazushini, from Bleach, the anime. And people then started fast to call me Kaze. And I was playing in 2016 a lot of CSGO.
Okay.
And I also had with friends a team. And once, like, we had a tournament, and we were practicing, and then we practiced from a pro team, a strat on a map. And I, out of fun, said, hey, yo, let's smash the, like, everyone got the spot, right, from this pro team. And I was like, yo, let's do it funny and just mix our nicknames with their nicknames. And we copied a strat from back then, from Cloud9, I think it was. And my position, or the pro player I was, the position I played, the name was Skadoodle. And out of Skadoodle and Kaze came Kazoodle.
And so was born.
Yeah, then back in the day in 2015, you were not able to change your name on Twitch. So I had to make a new channel when I wanted a new name. And my channel was kind of dead. And I was like, dude, I hate my old name. And then I just decided to make a new channel and called it Kazoodle. And since then, it's Kazoodle, but most people call me Zoodle. And I would love to actually change that to just Zoodle, but I can't. It's already taken.
If you could give one piece of advice for a new no-hit runner, or a new speedrunner also, potential, what would that advice be?
You can get everything, like everyone can get everything just with the right amount of practice. That means if you think you're not able to know-hit a game, that's not true. Everyone can no-hit these games, but it's just subjective how much practice the person needs to put in. And this all comes together with how much free time you have and everything. But if you put enough practice into it, you can achieve the no-hit run or the speed run. Maybe not the world record. Depend, because mostly you have to put then even more time in it, but yeah, even a
not
world
my
record.
World record. it doesn't matter.
Not mine.
Doesn't matter
not
how
mine.
Much time you
it's
put
mine.
Into it.
Yeah, no, not mine though. That's mine.
if one game could be released tomorrow, either an announced, unannounced, or a sequel to a game you don't think will ever happen, what game would it be?
Banjo-Kazooie, a remake or with Banjo-Tooie would be even better, like both. Or just a new Banjo-Kazooie.
Brand new game.
Like, it's still Banjo-Kazooie, but it's not a remake from the old one. It's just a new, brand new game, but with the same characters.
A bit like what they did with, like, Crash 4, just brand new concepts, just Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, new levels and new story and all that stuff. That or even, like, I would be even fucking down for a remake.
We've talked about mentality being a large part of challenge running. Could you talk about a time when the run, which we may have already previously talked about a little bit, but where a run was taking its toll and how you got past it?
You mean now not by dropping it, you mean by then getting past it and getting the run? When I got to this point where I started to really like have problems to get a run and everything, I started to change my... I always start to change my mindset from you need to get this run now because your PB is one to enjoy your stream. Like, that's what I'm saying to myself. Enjoy your stream and try... maybe reset the distance PB maybe in my head. Like, even if I got to the last boss this week, I try to get to the mid game, for example, and then I rising it again. Stuff like that. Just resetting already personal bests to refresh everything. And then obviously again, practice stuff where I felt uncomfortable. This is the thing. I never had a run where I always lost it because of mentality. It was always, for me, it was mostly because of two reasons. I didn't have the skill, which was, for example, in Resident Evil. I just didn't have the skill and I didn't put any practice in it, so I didn't get the run and then I didn't like it, right? So it was my fault. Or, what was the second? I started to not enjoy the game anymore. And if I was not enjoying it anymore, then I had personally no reason to finish this no-hit run because I had no fun with what I'm doing, so I moved on. Yeah.
If I said most hyped or most celebrated or excited moment on stream, your stream, what moment would come to mind?
For me, it's the all achievement no-hit run. It was just the whole journey was amazing. And I think it was the best no-hit run journey I ever had. It was just great. Like everything from starting to learn it to getting better and more consistent to then actually getting the run. I personally think not even getting the run was the best thing about it. Actually, just the journey was the best about it.
And what's the future plans of Kazoodle?
I try to beat no-hit Sekiro right now. And then I will try to get a sub 30 minutes in Minecraft any percent speedrun.
Okay, interesting.
And just for fun, yeah. And I have some marathons planned, not hit lists, just marathons, like Soulsborne, Kiro, all bosses in one go. The last one without Sekiro took 19 hours, so this will be probably 24 hours.
Very nice.
And till Elden Ring, I will probably try to get the God run. Won't work, but I just think that's what I can put time on it, and then
so the Godrun being the From Software games, apart from Sekiro back to back, so 5 games back to back, no hit.
Exactly, but not really like planning on getting it because it's only 3 months and I still have to get Sekiro. It will be more like just an I try to get as far as I can. Maybe I can get another trilogy out of it. It would be cool, and then just working on it so till Elden Ring comes out.
Crossing fingers.
Don't say that. Don't jinx that. Now they will move it again till August or something. Jesus.
When it's in my hands or downloaded on the screen, that's when I'm like, okay, it's all good now.
Yeah. Will you watch tomorrow the 15 minutes?
I'm going to, yeah. I'll probably forget what time it's on and then watch it on YouTube, but I'm definitely going to watch it. Well, Zoodle, I really appreciate the time, man. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I hope you've enjoyed it as well, man.
Oh, yeah, I did. It was great. Thank you for having me here in this Discord call. Was very nice.
No worries at all, dude. I hope everyone listening has enjoyed as well, and I shall catch you in the next episode.
Bye!
If you enjoyed this conversation and want to hear more with more amazing runners, be sure to head over to youtube.com/waveloki, Loki spelt with a C, or waveloki.com/nohitpodcast.